Welcome in! Latest episode of that SEC's podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. What's up, Slim? Appreciate you for tuning in here. Little bonus edition here. I thought it'd be kind of fun. We started talking quarterbacks, SEC power ranking of the quarterbacks, just like we do the teams on Saturday. But now that I've got a chance to go back and rewatch all the games, I think I got a better feel for the quarterbacks and how they rank. So while you guys filter in, gonna let you know, as always, don't forget the show's brought to you by MyBookie, the online sports book. Go check them out. MyBookie.ag is the website. SEC's the promo code where you can get a guaranteed wager up to $500 right now over at MyBookie with that promo code SEC. All right, appreciate you. Thanks for commenting ahead, old Pooh Bear. But all right, SEC quarterback rankings. Oh, real quick, JR, what a legend. It doesn't matter if it's a little surprise show, he's here.
Legend, cousin JR has done it again.
Shout out, JR, you damn legend. Who did he gift? He gifted Magic 8-Ball. Magic 8-Ball, welcome to the family, courtesy of the legend, JR. So let's get into it. Quarterback rankings, 1 through 16. Yeah, I am looking like your bookie. I do appreciate that. So how do I come up with these? Again, is it statistics? Not really. I'm just using the eye test. After watching all these guys, one game of action in 2025, I don't really care what you did in 2024. I don't give two shits about where you are regarded by the NFL draft. This is just my personal eye test, who I think have been the best quarterbacks in the SEC through 1 week. This will change wildly, right? So number 16, I don't think it should be any surprise to anybody that's watched this show or anybody, any surprise that it's someone that has watched this man play this year. It's Zach Calzada for Kentucky. Again, 80 yards, nothing, nothing I saw from old Zach. He was a little bit mobile. And keep in mind, he had time in the pocket. He wasn't running for his life against Toledo here. I'm not saying he's awful. A true test will come this week when he plays Ole Miss. But I think it's far and away Zach Calzada right now is your worst quarterback in the SEC after 1 week. Blake Shapen, I'm giving you 15. You know, he wasn't awful. Got the win. Nice touchdown. He had a couple of touchdowns called back due to penalty. He did have the one interception. It looked like Jeff Libby was really getting on his ass for throwing it. So, again, we'll learn a hell of a lot more about Blake Shapen this week. They really kind of relied on the ground game when they got in the red zone. I think that is somewhat of an indication of where they're at with their offense and trying to ensure that, you know, they got confidence in the offensive line, confidence in the ground game. But nothing I saw from Blake Shapen tells me he's a bad quarterback. I just think we got a lot of good quarterbacks in this conference right now. So Blake Shapen, you're 15. Number 14, this guy's catching a lot of hell. And he's going to catch hell on here, I guess. Give me Ty Simpson, number 14, quarterback in the quarterback rankings. So, yeah, shout out Moonshine. Hit that like button for cousin Walmart loser Bama fans. I don't know that it helps Bama fans, but perhaps it will allow them to get some money so that they could get themselves a quarterback. Again, I don't think that I don't think he was the problem. I don't think he was great. I don't think he was awful. He almost had, you know, one of the worst turnovers in the SEC last week with his crazy decision. But again, this isn't all on Ty. If Ty can play to this level, they need the defense to be better. They need his receivers to be better. He'll move up this list. I don't think Ty Simpson's your problem, but I also don't think he was the solution on Saturday. So I got Ty Simpson, number 13. Excuse me, 14. Number 13, lucky 13. If not for the hype, this man will probably be even lower. Give me Arch Manning. I don't know if he knows how to spell Heisman based on how I saw him perform against old Ohio State. He was rough. Now, will he get better this week? Certainly, against old San Jose. But I'm not basing this on recruiting. I'm not basing this on hype. I'm basing this on the quarterbacks we saw last weekend in the SEC, how they performed, and Arch Manning. I mean, I feel bad putting him this high. I don't know that he earns it. You know, he had about two or three really good throws in the game, and then he had about a dozen that were well off the mark. So, Arch at 13, and if you disagree, I think you're just a homer, and maybe you're looking ahead to where he will be in a month. He'll be much higher on this list likely, but he hasn't earned it yet. So, Arch, you're 13. 12, already seeing people get pissed off about this. I don't really get it. Marcel Reed, statistically, yeah, looks pretty good. Also led the team in rushing as well. But I don't know. Did you watch the game? Apparently Shane was catching a ton of shit for putting Marcel Reed low too. And that was their complaint. You didn't watch a game. Well, we watched a game. In fact, we rewatched the game. And what we saw was Marcel Reed was kind of all over the map. There was one throw, anybody that missed it, you're not going to catch this on the highlight reels. He had KC Concepcion open, wide open, literally for about, I don't think there was a player within 45 yards of KC Concepcion, and Marcel Reed couldn't hit him. He overshot it. Now, am I sitting here saying Marcel Reed's awful? No. But his stats, they do look damn impressive, don't they? It's because KC Concepcion, he may be the best receiver in this conference right now. He is that good. And Mario Craver, that might be the most underrated pickup out of the transfer portal all college football. I mean, he looked like $1 million too, and he was taking a lot of short passes and turning them into huge gains. So again, this is not me ripping apart Marcel Reed. I got him number 12. Statistically, looks great. But again, you were playing UTSA that had literally zero returning starters. You should look great against an opponent of that caliber. I'm not trying to hate on the guy, but I think that the 11 guys ahead of him played better. So I don't know. We'll see what he looks like this week, but not completely sold on Marcel Reed. Not yet. Maybe, Billy Lucci yells at me, and then maybe I'll move him up the list. How about number 11? I think this guy surprised the hell out of me. Jackson Arnold. The Fig Newton out there leads the SEC in rushing. So we do honor rankings, or excuse me, rushing rank in these rankings. So, yeah, you could say, well, he didn't throw the ball. Well, that's not the sole job of the quarterback. Quarterback's sole job is put the damn ball in the end zone and win the game. What did he do? He won the damn game. So Jackson Arnold, we got to see a lot more from him as a passer, yes. But as a runner, he was the catalyst in Auburn, winning by two touchdowns on the road. I probably have Jackson Arnold too low on this rankings. But again, I now we're splitting hairs. I think everybody from 12 and up had a good debut. So I think we'll see some separation this weekend, but maybe not that much because there's a lot of cupcakes. But for now, I'm very impressed with Jackson Arnold. And, you know, there's Oklahoma fans questioning whether Arch Manning is the next Jackson Arnold. I think that's a compliment to to Jackson Arnold, because hell, Jackson Arnold looks like a better quarterback than Arch Manning to me. So maybe one day Arch can become Jackson Arnold. He's not there yet. That's where I have him. All right, number 10. And I feel bad putting this guy this low because he looked like $1 million. Again, the competition was lacking, but Diego Pavia, superstar, he did whatever the hell he wanted against Charleston Southern. Again, this is probably one where most people did not watch the game. He had about three touchdowns called back due to penalties on his offensive line. So he probably should have had about six, seven touchdowns in this game. He looked great. I have no knock on what Diego Pavia looked like in this game. You need to go check out, if you missed it, the touchdown pass he threw to Cedric Alexander, one-handed grab in the end zone. Aside from the guy from Florida who had maybe the catch of the year, Cedric Alexander's, his catch, and Diego Pavia, his placement on that football, nothing better in the SEC week one than that. So Diego, moving up the list, love to see it. Number 9, I've been critical on this guy, so I'm trying to give him some love. Nothing he did was too bad. Give me old Gunner, number 9. I'd like to see that completion percentage a little bit better, but he got more comfortable as the game went along. He had a really, really good touchdown in the red zone to Landon, I think it was, in the back of the end zone. That's a much more difficult pass than I think people realize because the field is so condensed. So he scored 4 touchdowns in the opener. I'm a little concerned, though. He's a smaller guy, and he takes some big shots. So I hope, Gunner, you protect yourself because Georgia's going to need you this year. You play like you did on Saturday. Georgia can win the SEC. They can win the national championship. So, Gunner, no knock on you. I'm putting you number 9. Number 8, Tennessee fans. And Shane is over the damn moon on Joey Aguilar, which I get it. Yeah, he looked good. I saw a lot of inaccuracy, though. A lot of inaccuracy. But he was accurate as hell on the deep ball. That's all we care about, right? No interceptions. Joey Aguilar. Josh Heupel, arguably, you could make the case, no better coaching job week 1 than what Josh Heupel did, getting this guy in late, making him look like $1 million. So very, very impressed with Joey Aguilar. Again, I'd like to see the accuracy cleaned up a little bit. And some of that is first game playing in this offense, first game with these receivers. But I'm also a big believer. Coach Leach, of course, we got his book right here. Coach Leach always said you cannot teach a quarterback to become accurate. They either are or they aren't. So I'm not throwing that on Joey Aguilar because it's just one game. But for people that just think you just become accurate as the competition ramps up, as the season gets going, I'm not a huge believer in that. Neither is Coach Leach, and he knows more. He knew more about football than any of us combined. So, number 7. Now, this guy blew me away here. Again, we're getting into the cream of the cream. Should give you an indication of how many good quarterbacks there are in this conference. Give me number 7, Bo Prabula. What a star he looked like. Again, Central Arkansas, they suck. We know it. But he looked a lot better as a passer than I anticipated he would in the opener. We're going to learn a hell of a lot more about him this weekend going up against Kansas. But he looks like $1 million running the ball, and he looks even as good, if not better, throwing the football. So really blown away by Bo Prabula, number 7 in the rankings. He'll move up this list into the top 5 if he has a good performance against Kansas, because this is a high-pressure situation. So cannot wait to see old Bo get unleashed on Kansas. That should be fun. Number 6, DJ Lagway. Didn't play a ton, didn't even need him because they just slice and dice old Long Island iced tea. So, look like $1 million. Get in, get off, get out. That's what old DJ did, and glad to see that they didn't need him. I think he is poised for a huge, huge weekend here against South Florida. A lot of SEC fans are looking at South Florida as a potential upset bid. Shane and I will make our predictions here in a couple hours, but DJ Lagway's got a lot room to jump up his list. He looked like $1 million. Hell, I guess this guy is so good, he didn't even need to practice. That was stupid for even suggesting that this young man needs to practice a game of football. I think maybe he's just the natural. They never need him in practice ever again. Shout out number 5, Garrett Nussmeier. This guy, statistically, pretty solid, arguably against the best defense any SEC quarterback saw over the weekend. So number 5, maybe even too low for old Garrett Nussmeier. But, and this was keep in mind, the offensive line is still a work in progress. So imagine what he's going to look like against Louisiana Tech this weekend. And even Florida, which I'm very, very high on, playing Florida at home. I would much rather play Florida's defense at home than Clemson's defense on the road. So Nussmeier at number 5, I feel bad for putting him that low. He should probably be a little bit higher. But again, I love the quarterbacks we got in the SEC this season. So number 4, man, I'm catching the fever here. They told me this guy was a superstar in the making. I thought it was all bullshit. It's not. Give me Austin Simmons. Oh my goodness, this guy. I know he threw the 2 picks. One of them, he was getting hit. Again, I still probably shouldn't have, you're getting hit, you maybe don't throw it down the damn field to get intercepted. But aside from that, I mean, he looked as crisp as could be. He just looks, he looks so good. I'm probably reading way too much in a one damn game. All right, we saw him at Georgia, and he looked like $1 million for that drive as well. This guy looks like he could play in the NFL for like 15 years. Like, that's Again, I'm probably overreacting, but he, and I think he's only like 19 or 20 years old still. I think he's 19. So, yeah, I mean, I could not have been more impressed. We'll learn a hell of a lot more about Austin Simmons this week going up against Kentucky on the road. I may have to eat my words. He may skyrocket down this list if he's got a bad game against Kentucky, but I get all the hype now, and I get why Ole Miss fans think that they can make the college football playoff with this guy as their quarterback. I'm starting to believe it. So give me Austin Simmons, number four. Number three, Talen Green. He's everything we said he was. Leads the SEC in touchdown passes with six. Again, I realize the competition sucked, but you know, this is what you got to do. He just made it. It was like a grown man playing against children last week against Alabama A&M. Talen Green is that guy. Cannot wait to see what he does against Arkansas State. I think he's going to have another epic performance. So Talen Green, he's done nothing to downplay all the hype that we've given him this offseason. Love what I saw from him. He's number three. Number two, if you are not in on this guy yet, you're just a damn hater, and I got no respect for you because John Batir, oh my God. I get it. If you didn't see it, because it, I don't even know if they didn't put this on TV. It was ESPN Plus, but the guy looks, he looks better than the hype. He raises the floor significantly for Oklahoma. Now, again, they were playing bullshit competition. I have no respect for Illinois State. Sooner fans have been reaching out saying, I don't think you're aware of what caliber FCS. I mean, they're one of the best in the FCS. Get the hell out of here. That's the weakest shit I've ever heard. We're going to find out more about John Mateer this weekend. Game of the week, in my opinion. Michigan coming to town. They do have a legit defense. I know I trash them all the time, but they do have a legit defense. And I think Oklahoma's at a major, major, major disadvantage. I don't care who they're getting back on their offensive line. Their offensive line against Michigan's front seven, John Mateer is going to have to win this damn game. And if he doesn't look good in this game, Oklahoma's not going to win it. I really don't think so. So it's on him, but he's my number two quarterback in the SEC, so he should get it done if he's that damn good. And then number one, of course, Lenore Sellers. He looked like he is a superstar. I mean, he was putting the team on his back. I didn't think his offensive line looked good. I didn't think South Carolina's running game looked good, but it didn't damn matter because this guy is like a cheat code. And all the Cam Newton comparisons, I think, are legitimate. I think he's the most talented player in the country, and he's going to give South Carolina an opportunity to win every single damn game. And I didn't even think he played near to his capability, and yet he had about a handful of plays that I don't know that there's another player in this conference could make. He did it week one on the road. So I guess I don't know how good Virginia Tech is. We'll find out this weekend as they play Vanderbilt. A little bit more about them, but this wasn't Illinois State. This wasn't Central Arkansas. This wasn't, Long Island. This was Virginia Tech. They got money too. They got players too. So give me Sellers right now, number one, and that's where we got him. Hey, shout out Quentin Cook became a member. Welcome to the family. We appreciate you, buddy. How about Mr. Price? I can't do this one. Priscilli. Our Oklahoma Sooners finna have all y'all eating crickets after this weekend. Quiet as a damn church mouse. Boomer. I appreciate you, Mr. I don't know how to say your name, but hopefully you like John Mateer, number two in the power rankings. Cannot wait. This is the game I'm most excited about this weekend. Michigan coming to town. College game day coming to town. John Mateer. He's gonna show out this weekend. I really do think. I also think Tyler Adams. He's a hell of a cousin. Go Big Orange. He is a member. We appreciate you, buddy.
Welcome to the family.
So here, I'm going to upload it here. Here's my rankings. Let me know if they suck. Let me know if you agree. I'm sure you all disagree. So again, recapping it. Man, these graphics are getting slim and slim, not doing me any favors. Leroy Sellers, number one. John Mateer, number two. Talen Green, number three. Austin Simmons, number four. Garrett Nussmeier, number five. DJ Lagway, number six. Bo Prabilla, number seven. Joey Aguilar, number eight. Gunnar Stockton, number nine. Diego Pavia, number 10. Jackson Arnold, 11. Marcel Reed, 12. Arch Manning, 13. Ty Simpson, 14. Blake Shapen, 15. Zach Calzada, 16. And hell, I mean, I think you could argue 1 through 15, we're all happy with our quarterbacks. Sorry, Calzada. But I think we're all happy with them. And again, I'm literally splitting hairs between 12 and 4. You know what I mean? Like, all those guys showed out week one. I think Sellers, Mateer, Green, right now, in a league of their own. And hell, you might even say Garrett Nussmeier, throw him in there. And hell, you could say DJ, too. So that's where I got it. This list will change dramatically as we get more games and we have more to react to. But that's where I got it. And I'm not changing it till next week. So, I'm fired up for some football. I don't know about you guys. Looks good. Hey, Hog fan agrees. That's all I care about. So, live watch once a week would be amazing. I think we're going to do it. I didn't realize. So, anybody, I don't know if you cousins realize either, but Texas is the only noon Eastern 11 a.m. kick this week. A&M, I believe, kicks off at 12:45 Eastern. So there's only going to be one game in the early slot for at least 45 minutes. We're going to do a watch party for that. So it'll be technically for Texas and then A&M as well when they kick off. So we are going to go live. We're going to do a watch party. So come hang out if you're not going to be at a game. Again, how is Reed 12? Again, did you not hear anything I just said? I mean, he's missing guys wide open. His yardage is deceiving because his receivers were taking short passes and making them huge gains. It looked like they're forcing the issue with Marcel Reed. It's like, we've got to get this guy comfortable because they couldn't run the ball and maybe they didn't try to. He also leads the team in rushing. You can't have your quarterback, when you have all your offensive lineback and all your running backs back and the quarterback still leads you in rushing, that's not a good sign. I don't understand how that's not getting through to A&M fans, but he should not be leading the team in rushing. That's not sustainable. You're going to get him killed, first of all. And second of all, go watch the game. Watch KC Concepcion open by literally 40 yards. There's not anyone in 40 yards from him. He couldn't hit him. He missed him. Literally, I could have made that throw. And I can't throw for shit. So that's troubling. Now, he had some balls that were amazing. Now, he had some nice passes. But guess what? We got other quarterbacks in this conference, too, that if their guy's wide open by 40 yards, are going to hit him. I don't know. He's got to clean his shit up, I think. A&M's whole offensive operation was overly impressive, aside from KC Concepcion, Mario Craver. They look like $1 million. Give those receivers to any quarterback. They're going to have nice plays there, I think. Reed made it look too easy for you. Again, I don't know. Did you watch the game? I saw UTSA challenge A&M, and it was a 4-point game in the third quarter because of your quarterback in part. So, yeah, I mean, I call it like it is, and I'm one of the biggest A&M fans out there, and the guy's not overly impressive, not week one. Again, this is week one, so he's got to be better. He's got to be better. Any other questions aside from Marcel Reed, who? Again, I'm picking the guy apart, but because we got some elite quarterbacks in this conference right now, and you got to do a hell of a lot better than putting on for UTSA, which featured a lot of special teams. They scored on a punt return. They had great field position with kickoffs. Marcel Reed and A&M was set up to dominate UTSA, and they didn't do it. So. That's where we're at with them. They got to look a hell of a lot better, I think. They were one of the more disappointing teams, I thought, in the SEC week one. Yeah, I don't. I mean, come on. Get with it here. Anything un-A&M related? I'm kind of tired of talking. I mean, I can only say it so many times. Cousin Shane thinks Joey is number one. Yeah, I don't. I was wildly impressed with old Joey Aguilar as well. But not top five. I don't even think that's a consideration right now. He can work his way there, but no, not even close. Not even close, I don't think. Sellers played a much better team than OU. That's true. That is very true. I just think the SEC is loaded with quarterbacks this week. Why do you have Sellers over Mateer when Mateer is leading for the Heisman? Well, we found out what happened to leader of the Heisman week one. That don't mean shit. I don't know why anyone would reference that. And is John Mateer leading for the Heisman? I don't think that's accurate either. But even if it is, that literally means nothing to me. That's dog shit. That's the same as saying Texas number one. So we got to anoint their ass. They're the next Bama. I don't think you want to be the next Bama, but if we're going to anoint them that, sure, that's fine. Sellers is number one because he is just a transcendent player. I mean, he's amazing. I don't know how you watch him and don't see that, but I don't know. We'll learn more this week. Yeah, leave Cousin Shane alone. He can't take Mean Cousins and Cracker Brown the same. Yeah, and how about this? I don't know if, again, we have kind of talked about this damn schedule at nauseam, but I did see this. This is insane to me. Florida's schedule. Again, we've hit on it all off season, right? So we're aware, but after 1 week, it looks a hell of a lot more difficult. South Florida beat the shit out of Boise 34-7. LSU's number three now. Miami's number five. Texas is 7. A&M's 19. Georgia is 4. Ole Miss is 20. Tennessee's 22. Florida State's 14. So even the teams on Florida's schedule where you were like, well, we should win that one, they looked good on week one, like a Miami, like a Florida State, like a Tennessee. Buddy, Ken says Florida State didn't play anyone. That may be fair. But again, it's just 1 week, but suddenly all the teams they got to play seemingly looked a lot better after week one. So that's wild. That is damn wild to me. Yeah, but it's wild. All right. Hey, one other thing. Forgot to shout him out last time. Hey, if you're going to a game or you're considering it, maybe it's a little too pricey for you, which I certainly understand that. Head on over to SeatGeek, SeatGeek.com, or just download the app on your phone and use that promo code SEC10 to get 10% off your first order with SeatGeek. These damn ticket prices are out of control. You want to see one of these great quarterbacks like Lenore Sellers, John Mateer, Garrett Nussmeier, even Marcel Reed. I'll throw him into the mix to make those crybabies stop crying. Go to SeatGeek. Use promo code SEC10. Get 10% off your tickets. I think the tickets are on sale there in College Station after watching Marcel Reed for a week. But hey, that's all I got. We're going to be back later this evening, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central, to make our predictions for all these games. Just thought it'd be fun to hop on here, talk some quarterback rankings. We're going to be doing this every week, and these will move a lot. There'll be a ton of movement, just like the power rankings, as we get more and more information. But that's all I got on this episode. I appreciate each and every one of you for hanging out. Hope to see you this evening. Until then, bye-bye.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.